Today on Real Radio.
Because he is the Christ of Christmas. He's the reason. He's the purpose. He is the announcement. He's the message. The world is celebrating so often what they do not know.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his four-part mini-series we're presenting in the light of Christmas. It's called His Majesty, the Coming King. Isn't that a great title? Our key verse for this four-part series is actually what's known as a doxology. Now, a doxology, as you might already know, is an outburst of worship that's written by an author of Scripture. In this case, it's a doxology by Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, who he considered to be his son in the faith. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in the concluding message of his mini-series called His Majesty, the Coming King.
And as you go there, by the way, have your pen ready. We're going to be covering some verses this morning. And we are giving arguments this month, the month of December, regarding His Majesty, the Coming King, that it's all about Jesus Christ. You can't have Christmas without recognizing Jesus. You might say, well, I'm not a Christian, and I recognize Jesus. Brother, sister, you're missing it, because He is the Christ of Christmas. He's the reason. He's the purpose. He is the announcement. He's the message. The world is celebrating so often what they do not know. But thank God many of them do, as Christmas is the announcement of His Majesty, the Coming King. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, now to the King, that is Jesus, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen, says the Bible. When the coming King arrives in your life and in my life, what do we understand? When Jesus answers our request. What does that mean? It's because the request is pleasing to God. When Jesus Christ answers our request, our prayer, our inquiry of Him, when we call out to God in that act of prayer, that is communicating with God, what is it all about? Number one, that request that we put forward to the Lord is one that pleases Him. See, what do you mean by that? I mean this. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So when we consider baby Jesus and the wise men bringing gifts to him, the truth of the matter is that God sent his son to bring to us his answer, his gifts, if you can put it that way. And we will in a moment. But when we consider Jesus Christ, it's what he does for us. Why is he so important? Oh, yes, we've looked at the Bible, how the Bible announces that it is Jesus Christ, that he had to be born in Bethlehem. He had to come 2,000 years ago. All that was written down in advance. And we've looked at that in our previous studies. But the coming King, Christ Jesus in our lives today, what does that mean? That when we pray to the Lord in the name of Jesus, we are asking God to answer our request. And listen, God answers our request when those requests are pleasing to him. Those kings and those shepherds brought praise and worship to the Lord. No doubt it's a blessing and a praise and an honor to him. But the amazing thing to realize as we see jolly old Saint Nick sitting in the stores, how does he get around? I saw him at Macy's and Nordstrom's the other day at the same time. How does he get around? Well, that guy's an announcement. That guy is just a symbol. That guy's a type. And it's all about gift giving. But the whole purpose is based upon the fact that God gave his gift. And Jesus Christ, church, listen, Jesus is the way into all that God has for us. That's why Jesus said in John 14, when you pray, my Father's going to answer your prayer, because that's how he's glorified. Now, I hope you're sophisticated enough to know, aren't you? You know this by now. That the Bible warns us that when we pray, we're not to pray about things and for things that are going to consume upon our own desires. Oh, I want this, and oh, I want that, and if I just had $1 billion or $1 zillion of the other, or how about more of that? That's not what the Bible's talking about. But when you say, God, I want my life to matter, God loves that prayer. That honors him. When you say, God, I want to live a life that makes a difference in this world. I want to live a life of love. I want to live a life that brings honor and glory to you. God loves to answer those prayers. That's why Jesus told us that we can have the confidence that God will answer. When we pray, make requests, that's pleasing to God. Secondly, when Jesus answers our request, it's because the request is honoring to him. It's not only pleasing to him, it's honoring to him. When we say honor, what does that mean? Well, as the wise men came and made worship unto the Lord, the Bible tells us in Matthew 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? And here's the punchline. For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him, to honor God. Jesus Christ, this morning, we celebrate at Christmas, he is that conduit, that pathway that we can give honor and be pleasing unto God. When we honor the Lord, we not only pray, God bless my life in our request, but we say, Lord, I want my life to be an honor to you, to be pleasing, yes, but to be an honorable thing to you. And when we present ourselves to him, it's that act of honoring God, to say, Lord, you're the king in my life. At Christmas, now don't shout this out, but at Christmas and any other day of the entire year, can you say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and you awake every day, you live your day, and you end your day by having that conscious fellowship of being with God? I'm not talking about how good you do during the day. Church, all of us succeed and do wonderful things for the Lord, and all of us fail and come short miserably of things that he would not have us do or think. I'm not talking about your performance. I'm talking about, is your heart for God? Then the truth is, Christ reigns in your life. He is your Lord and your Savior. And when Jesus is number one, not your feelings, not your pursuits. Listen, you will have feelings and you will have pursuits. But is he your God? Is he your focus? Is he your attention? And are you living your life? Can you say, I live my life to honor God? At Christmas, it should be a time of renewal, that what we're looking at is checking all of our bases to determine, am I honoring God? Paul the Apostle said to examine our own lives to determine whether we be in the faith. We can say that we believe the Lord. We can say that we believe the Bible. We can say that we believe in God. But what kind of a difference has that made in our lives? You say, Jack, I want to have a difference in my life. I want to have a change. Oh, then you come to him and you pray, pleasing him by saying, Lord, change my life. You know, listen, I don't want to upset anybody, and I don't want you to not go out and buy whatever book you want to buy on self-help. But listen, you want to have the ultimate self-help step? I'm not into 12 steps. I'm into one step. I'm into the one-step program. You step into the arms of God and he'll pick you up and he'll hold you real tight. And listen, you say, well, that's awful simple. It has to be simple. We make things so complicated. God says, come here. The Lord says, come to me. He didn't say, you know, do it in 49 steps or 10 steps or 12 steps. He says, come to me. And we come. What an awesome thing that is. And so the wise men said, we have come to worship him. Can you imagine as they were coming into town? Hey, by the way, I hope you were here. We had a great crowd on Friday night. And we played Charlie Brown's Christmas in here. We had popcorn everywhere, and I mean everywhere. And we showed that wonderful new cartoon, The First Noel. And it's just so wonderful because as the kings from the east came into Jerusalem, people were all getting all nervous. Who are you guys? We're kings. We've come from the east. We've come to worship him. And what a cute cartoon that was, that as they came, they brought gifts. And they're standing there, these three kings, you know, and this little hand comes out of the manger, out of the straw covered manger. This little hand comes up, and you know how a little baby is? You know when you can stick your finger out and a little baby will grab onto your hand? That is so cool. And this, in that cartoon, the little hand of Jesus portrayed grabs onto that king's finger, and he was all decked out in all of his royal regalness, and you could see his face just melt with his heart being touched. God wants to do that in every one of our lives. And all he is waiting for us to do is ask him and then to honor him in worship. Oh God, change my life. That request is pleasing. Secondly, Lord, I come to you and I submit and I bow in worship to you. And that's honoring him. And then thirdly is this. When Jesus answers our request, it's because the request is the best thing for us. Church, please, brother and sister in Christ, understand this. Did not Jesus say, and this is shocking, hey, those of you who have studied comparative religions or maybe you've come from some other faith, let me be the first to tell you, you will not hear this in any other religion in all of the world. Jesus said to all those who will follow the Lord, you call him Abba, you call him Father, you call him Papa. You are now sons and daughters of the living God. It's all about family in the spirit. God says, listen, by faith you have come and you believe and you trust in me and you come into that family. God invites all of us. And when we make requests and we pray and when we honor the Lord, what he grants unto us is the very, very best for us. Have we forgotten that? He is the perfect parent. There is not a mom or a dad in this sanctuary that thinks they got the corner market on how to be a parent. It would be awesome if kids came out. And by the way, if they came out, they would have to have, you know, it would be so nice if they had instructions on their feet when they came out. Well, not only would it be great if little kids had instructions on their feet when they came out, but you would have to have instructions for that little kid that just came out. Every one of us are so much alike, but so different. You know, we talk about snowflakes. Every snowflake's different. Man, if every snowflake's different, can you imagine how every human is to the creativeness of God? When babies come into the world, they should have, in my opinion, they should have the little manual how to operate this kid. And you got to learn that all your life. And parents fumble through life trying to figure that out. Here's the cool thing. God knows you. God knows me. He knows the instructions. He knows exactly. In fact, the Bible says, raise up your child in the way that he should go. Well, does not God know how to raise us up in the way that we should go? You say, well, Jack, I want to call the shots in my life. Okay, I've tried that. It hurts. Bruised foreheads, bloody noses. You run into walls. Why is my life like this? Well, just know this. God didn't do it. If we will back up and let go, God will begin to implement his plan. And it's awesome. He answers to us the very best. Will you jot this down? I don't care. You may be Satan here this morning. You're going to want this verse. This is a great verse. It's Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you know what's amazing about that verse? In the Hebrew, it's fantastic. Because you can't, once you get into it, if you say, I'm going for that. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. It's almost like you're entering into a whirlpool, but rather than pull you down into a pit, it's a whirlpool that leads you to a blessing. When you say, you know what? I love that verse. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow, what does that mean? Number one, delight yourself in the Lord. That is this. At Christmas, do this. Lord, I determine now to surround my life with you. Delight yourself in him. That is, watch this. He's so cool. He's so awesome. Listen, you can pray this. God, I desire to give you everything. Sort of. Those areas that I do not yet want to give up. Listen, I know, God, that you are God. I know that you're all powerful. I know that you love me. But there's areas, honestly, in my life I'm not willing to give up. Maybe it's finding that mate, or maybe it's finding that thing, or doing this or the other. Whatever it is that it seems to be your thing that you've got to manage, or else it's not going to happen. And you're afraid to give it to God. Listen, that's when you can pray, God, because you are awesome, I'm not willing to give that area of my life to you. I pray that you'll make me willing to give that area to you. Every one of us can pray that prayer. God, I'm asking you to change my heart. And when you delight yourself in the Lord, here's what happens. As you do that, he deposits desire into your heart. What kind of desire? The things that your heart desires. Well, what is that? Whatever he places in there, as you delight yourself in him, he sprinkles it into your heart. You get all excited about it. It's what you want. Watch this. And then you come to God and you're all excited about that thing that he's already put it in your heart. You see how this is rigged? Oh God, I choose to delight myself in you. Cool. He begins to put desires in your heart. You think they're yours. And you say, oh God, please, please do this in my life. I want to do this in my life, and I want to proclaim, or I want to be, or I want to do, and I want to have all the glory go to you. God put that in there. No wonder why Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if my word abides in you, you may ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because you've delighted yourself in the Lord. You made God the focus of your life. Matthew 6:33 says, if we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added to us. Why? Because God's first in our lives. And we can handle those other things, whatever they may be. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you've searched for me with all your heart. That's delighting in him. In James 4, verse 2, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. We think, I'll take care of it. We hear bad news. Oh, man, what am I going to do? I got to sit down and figure that out. Do you understand that he already has the answer? We ought to ask him. Why? Because he wants to do what's best for us. Point number two this morning, I'm going to need you to be ready to write down a lot. Point number two is when Jesus brings us his presence. Not only when Jesus answers our request, but secondly, when Jesus brings us his presence. And I'm not talking about presents like you know, presents that are wrapped. I'm talking about his presence as his person. Number one is that he brings us the gift of faith. Did you know that faith, according to the Bible, is a gift given by God? God does that. He brings us the gift of faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. I love that verse. You know why? God gives the gift of faith to all those who will ask him. So watch this. How in the world can you see somebody who is, quote, Christian, walking around with their chest sticking out? Yes, I've believed in God all my life. I have faith. I'll pray for you. I have faith. What are you doing? You have nothing but that which God has given you. Do you have great faith? It's because God has given you faith. You say, well, I want to have faith. Ask God for more faith. It's a gift. Have you noticed when you talk to some people that have read the same Bible you've read, they've heard the same message that you've heard, and they just don't get it? I don't understand that. I don't get it. And then to the person sitting next to them, it is so perfectly clear. If we ask God in all honesty, Lord, I want to have faith in you. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't even know if you believe in God, but you're willing. Listen. You will believe in something. You have been made by God, the God that you don't believe in, you've been made by that God to believe in something. Man has been created to have faith in something. The truth is, man was specifically created to have faith in God. But when God is not present in our lives, then we put faith in other things. And that's where we go astray. Faith, it's a gift. Number two, he brings us the gift of hope. I love this next verse. It's actually, It's kind of a funny verse because it is so practical. Psalm 42, verses 5 through 8. Psalm 42, verses 5 through 8 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" This is the psalmist talking to himself. By the way, that's a really good thing to do, to talk to yourself regarding Bible. "Why are you so cast down, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted? Why are you bummed out inside of me? Why is your heart heavy? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." That is, when God smiles on you, hope springs forth. He goes on to say, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan," that is the river, "and from the heights of Hermon," that is the great mountain in the north of Israel, "from the hill Mizar." What is the psalmist saying? God, when I back up and stop, listen, church, everybody listening? That was pretty, are you awake? The psalmist, David, is saying this: "I'm disappointed, I'm bummed, I'm depressed. What should I do? What should I do? Pop a pill, drink, shop, do something to alleviate my depression." No, David said, as he speaks truth to himself, why am I so depressed? Why am I so bummed? Stop, think, why am I so depressed? What should I do? I need to hope in God. See, all this is why you're driving. I need to hope in God. What do I know? I don't know much about the Bible. I'm a new believer, or I know what the Bible says: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," that's me, "would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Well, that's an awesome thing. But I'm still depressed. What should I do? The Bible says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you." That is, drawn you, Jack or Susie or Mike or Johnny, to me, says the Lord. You see what you start doing? You start preaching to your depression. And I got to tell you something. I'm not going to give you the details, but when I got saved, I was happy as a lark before I got saved. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I was 19 years old. I was making what I called stupid money. At my age, you should not have been making that kind of money. I had time. I had freedom. It was wonderful. And I came to Christ, I accepted Jesus, and I lost all that stuff within a matter of months. Best thing that ever happened to me. It was all taken away, and God began to clean house in my life. And the things that I did before coming to Christ, you'll never know. Amen. You'll never know. But I tell you, it weighed on me, the guilt and the shame of that. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw that world I lived in. And I wound up we didn't have Bible programs back then. I don't even know if computers had been invented back then. But I would take photocopies of the Bible and cut out that verse and paste it on my mirror, paste it in the kitchen, paste it on my car. Everywhere I put verses that I needed to encourage me, because I felt so condemned constantly. How could God ever forgive me? How could God ever love me?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called His Majesty, the Coming King. It's a special series we're presenting as we celebrate the Christmas holiday. Again, the title, His Majesty, the Coming King. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, His Majesty, the Coming King, this current series, is available for you to buy on DVD. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then go to the Resource Center. It's real easy once you get to the website. Then remember the title, His Majesty, the Coming King, on DVD. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.